The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Go out to motivationmuscle.com/, well, we'll do this first, /category/podcast. Go out and just look at the amount of shows. We got our good friend Scott Shetler on, and I'll bring Scott in momentarily. Just go out and look at everything we've done. I mean, Scott's been on here. He's been on here at least a year. There's no doubt about it. And that's a big thing, but you go out and you look at all the stuff he and I have done together. And I mean, as I say, I don't have the exact number, but I know that we are very close to 700 podcasts already. Now, that's only in a little over 2 years. I mean, I've been busting my butt to get this branding built, and it's working. And I've had minimal help. And it's been pretty much on my back, but you know, when you want something real bad, that's the way you got to do things. So go out and check that out. Also go to motivationmuscle.com. Download our 2 free ebooks, one to make you think, one to make you take action. That's what it's all about. I'm going to, before I bring Scott in, everybody knows I did this on the, Scott and I did a show a few weeks ago. And I've been reading excerpts all over the place, and the one lately I've just been keying on, and I've got a number of books in front of me, but I love reading this same whole story in the morning and at the night, and I do other ones too, but you should really get this book if you don't have it. It's called Of Stones and Strength, Steve Jack and the late Peter Martin. I'm getting nothing for this, all right? I'm just telling you about some very good principles and stories in here that anybody that listens to this show, male or female or kids, if you're a kid, tell your mom and dad to order this book. It's outstanding. And it goes like this. It's from The Sons of Sisyphus, chapter 33, page 107, and I'm going to read about the last 4 lines. Here we go. It is at the foot of the mountain that men are proven. Here a man must choose to take up his stone or surrender his dream. No assurance of victory is given, and yet, like Sisyphus, one must conclude, the struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. The struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. And we've been really hammering that verse an awful lot here lately, and I want to have Scott comment on that. But before we bring Scott in, I want to give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one. He is the owner of Extreme Performance Training Systems. He is a trainer. He's a writer, and he is the host of his own show, Strength and Health TV. And Scott has been, like I tell everybody, and I can't say this enough, Scott's been very gracious to me coming on here. Great contributor. People really love the shows that he and I do. And these are the quality of people I hope that are going to stay with this, with us. I mean the whole family for the next 28 to 30 years. And we're going to talk about, this is going to be very interesting today. The show is called Why with a big question mark. Scott, welcome back, brother.
Thanks, Eric. Always good to be here, man.
Same with here. Anything I missed, obviously, websites, please give that out. And we're going to start today's show.
Yeah, man. Like always, people can, if they want to learn a little bit about me or what I do, if they go to my personal website at scottshetler.com. That's got links to all my social media, all my, you know, my blog, my video blogs, and links to my brick and mortar training center here in Atlanta. So it kind of covers everything that I do from a business standpoint. And as far as the publication and the different content that I put out on a regular basis, it's all linked to there. So
awesome. This is a real interesting topic. I, you know, as everyone knows, sometimes we have topics before we get on the air. I'd say more times we don't, and obviously Scott will tell you, everything we're doing is pretty much right off the cuff, which is amazing radio right there. But secondly, I'm not a guy like a lot of people that send 10 questions to whoever's coming on the show. I don't believe in that. I think that's boring radio, and it's the same canned questions you hear all over. And that's why M&M has got the niche it's got, and that's why we're growing. Scott, why is a very interesting word which can go a multitude of ways. I'm going to start off myself, and then we'll send it right to you, and it's going to be quick. I'm going to ask myself, and I'm going to ask you the same question, why do you lift weights? And we're just going to put it in that genre because you and I do a number of different things. But for just the sake of not confusing everybody, and we'll probably get into it more into the show, why? All right, I'll tell you why, and everybody knows this that's been listening to the show. Two of the main reasons were Jimmy Fiorello, my brother, muscular dystrophy, died as a very young kid. He is the inspiration for everything we do here, and you're going to see all this new stuff out on Fiorello Barbell Co. A lot of it is out there as we get ready for our big launch. Jimmy was the main reason. The Incredible Hulk was the second reason. And between the two of them, watching my brother the way he went down and needing something to give me the confidence to let me know, even though my parents explained that I couldn't get that awful disease, the Hulk was the identifier with me because I love not only the comics, but the cartoons. I'm not really big on the Avengers Hulk. I like the one prior to him with Ed Norton in it. That's the way I always envisioned the Hulk, the look. And the reason that whole why was is I felt I needed to be so strong. If you watched the Hulk, no matter what you did to him, he'd always come back twice as hard, bigger, more aggressive. And that was the key as a young boy that I needed, besides, you know, obviously the reinforcement of your parents. But I needed that for myself. And here we are today. And look, done a lot of amazing things. I want to do a lot more things. We got the best radio show to me in the world, and we got the best family of guests. So, Scott, why? Why did you start? What happened in your life, if anything, that really propelled you to where you are today? Because you're a very successful man. So, take it away.
I'd have to say the why is not really one thing, but it's been more of an evolution because, you know, when you've got a few years, few decades under your belt, you know, like we do, that why probably changes and evolves over time. You know,
sure.
I think when you're 14, 15 years old, picking up a barbell for the first time, you know, there's a difference in how you approach what you're doing at that time than when you're 20, 30, 40, you know. And
yeah,
I think that evolution is necessary because that's what life is. It's evolving. It's, you know, we're constantly expanding. We're learning new things. We're having more experience and stuff. But originally for me, the why was just to get confidence, man. I was the skinny, typical, you know, skinny little kid growing
yep.
up. You know,
yep.
I probably weighed about 135 going into my freshman year, you know, about 5'9", 5'10". Skinny, you know, skin and bone, just the typical 95-pound weakling, right?
Yeah.
And you lack confidence, you know, when you're that age, you're going into high school, you're trying to figure yourself out, you know, you're starting to think about those questions, you know, what am I going to do? Why am I here? And things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of turned toward bodybuilding, for lack of a better term, because that's really all I knew about back then. You'd see the Mr. Olympia on TV, you see the big muscle guys and stuff like that, and you just gravitate toward, you know, the old Arnold look, you know,
sure.
Franco, Frank Zane, and all that stuff. I mean, it was inspirational. You know, these guys look larger than life. You know, they look like comic book characters come to life.
Yep.
And there's just something kind of empowering about taking a skinny, you know, frame and going into the gym and saying, man, I could build this. You know, I can do this. I wasn't always, you know, I wasn't a great athlete. I was really good at music. I always played drums, you know, ever since I could grab a pair of drumsticks. And I was really into individual type extreme and adventure sports, you know, BMX and
sure.
skateboarding and stuff like that. But this was something that I could do. You know, I could change, you know, my physique by going to the gym every day and lifting weights.
Yep.
And there's a feeling of confidence and empowerment that comes with that, you know, not to sound all hokey, but it really, you know, I really think that's where people that take that route, you know, getting involved in lifting and getting in the iron and stuff. I really think that at the core of it, that a lot of people have that similar feeling, that it's something, you know, there's something tangible there. You know, it's something that you can do to affect an outcome. You know, that you have 100% control over.
Well, you know, and now here's the next why, because you led perfectly into this question, and I'll answer it and we'll go right to you. Then why are so many people not engaged in what you and I and everybody loves to do? All right, and the question to me that I just pose is this. This is my feeling. I think in a lot of ways it's been promoted incorrectly. A lot of the stuff, the drama, especially if you're involved in any social media, which you and I both know as businessmen, we have to do things that way. It's a form of bringing people in. It could be a potential for earning income, and let's face it, to survive and do what we got to do, we have to make income, and I don't find any problem with that whatsoever. But not only that, it's a lot of people have gone and tackled this stuff, quote unquote, been gone to the wrong clubs. You know, from owning a gym, you know, I'm sure you can list handfuls where you've seen stuff that you can't believe, and it's still going on. So they get fried there, they get hurt, and they don't come back. I also think, too, there's an awful, and it depends where you're going, but there's a big emphasis on numbers all the time. And I understand it. I mean, I want bigger numbers all the time, but the majority of people are not lifting 400, 500-pound Atlas stones. They're not squatting 7, 8, 9,000. They're not deadlifting over 1,000, et cetera, et cetera. And what's happened is these goals that they're putting out there, somebody's telling them, especially if they don't have the basics down, the ground floor, is only going to lead to multiple failure, injury, and possibly just dropping out or both. And I've been in enough gyms in my life, and I've seen some of these quote-unquote trainers that it just amazes me that they're even employed in a place like that, let alone, I mean, you look at them, they don't even have the look of power, man. They look like somebody just got a pair of pecs and a set of biceps. You look at them from the back, they've got a chick's ass, and they've got a pair of legs that, I'm telling you, as we used to call them, chicken legs, man. That's what you got to look at when you go and you deal with a possible educator, trainer, coach, whatever you want to call it. And you're going to need somebody to guide you through that. And the guidance has not been there. There's a lot of good trainers, absolutely, but there's a lot more bad ones out there. So the why to me is why I feel that we're nowhere near as big as we can be as a training group community. And I'll reiterate this even more. It's only probably been in the last 6 months, but I realize this now more than ever. Health, everybody, is the number one thing. Because Scott can't do what he does, and Eric can't do what he does if his health is suffering. I don't care how strong you think you are or whatever. If you're not in good health, and this goes for mental health too, as I said, it's going to be like trying to either scale or run through a brick wall. So good luck. All right, brother, take it.
Yeah, I agree with you, you know, especially the point that you made about health. I think people lack, I don't want to say education. I mean, but the problem is there's almost too much information out there now, you know, going back to your comments on social media.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, you know, we had maybe some magazines. And you basically just had your local club, you know, whether it was an old YMCA, like where I got started, or if you had an old school kind of bodybuilding, you know, gym or something like that. But back in the day, it was, and I was coming in kind of at the tail end of it, you know, the late 80s, early 90s and stuff like that.
Yep.
Before the real big boom happened.
Yep.
And it was definitely a closer knit community. Mm-hmm. And that was also right at the tail end of where things were a little bit more holistic. And I'm not saying it wasn't hardcore, because the bodybuilders were definitely hardcore back then.
Sure.
But, you know, think about back, you know, to what we read from the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s, and even, you know, the turn of the century type stuff, you know, if you want to talk about stuff like the physical culture movement.
There you go.
There was definitely an element of holistic fitness or holistic health or holistic, you know, whatever you want to call it, but there was a holistic element there that we've lost. And I know that we've talked about that in the past, but things are more specialized now.
Yes.
You know, there's more, and you have to be. If you want to be a champion power lifter, a champion weightlifter, a champion strongman, you've got to specialize. You're a champion bodybuilder. There isn't, you can't be well-rounded anymore. You know, you've got, if you're going to squat 11, 1200 pounds, if you're going to bench 1,000, if you're going to deadlift 1,000, you have got to specialize in those events. You know, I mean, you can't be walking around and be the picture of health and be a 1200 pound squatter.
No,
you just can't. And I mean, you know, one of the things that you see these, these big super heavyweight lifters do, the minute they retire, they start losing weight.
Yeah.
You know, and they start focusing on their health. It doesn't mean you stop training, but your training's just taking a different approach. And I think for the majority of people, that's the approach that it needs to take from the get-go. You know, there's nothing wrong with competing. There's nothing wrong with going out there, whatever level you want to do it at. You know,
there's nothing
wrong with challenging yourself. But in the end, you know, if your health is suffering, then you're not getting the benefits of what the original movement was all about. And I think that when you jump online and you start Googling, you know, gym and fitness and strength training and stuff like that, you're going to be bombarded with so many different points of view that you're not going to be able to sift through that and make any sense of it.
No.
You know, so I think it's almost like too much information nowadays is why people just don't know where to begin, or they don't, you know, they don't get into it properly, end up getting hurt and whatnot.
No, I agree with that totally. And going back to physical culture, Bill Hinburn and I just did a show on Attila, and I just put that up yesterday. It was smoking, but we got into it. I don't know how I started it out, but physical culture we set on. I started the whole thing with that, and I wanted to get Bill stoked up enough where I knew he'd like come out like fire. And I said to him, a lot of people call physical culture now, but to me it's really not, because most of them just focus on weightlifting. And if you know anything about it, you said holistic, it was a total package way of life. This is how they lived, whether it was training, sleeping, spiritual, whatever. But it was strictly a way to live. That's a difference between all I care about is numbers, all right? That's been lost. And I don't hear, other than when we talk about it, I don't hear much of that, unless you get a guy that maybe has been around for a while that suddenly writes a book and, you know, lays it all on the line with the past greats and how they lived, how they enjoyed their life, how they took at what they had in the gym and their beliefs, and they brought it out into the world. And obviously, when you think like that and you act a certain way, you have standards, it's a big thing when you walk out. And I think, especially today, because you'll hear this, they did this, and I'm like, well, I'm glad they did it, but, you know, that used to be, like, secondhand to most people. There's a way you acted, there's a way you talked, there's always people that were going to be better or not than you, and you made the best you could, and you did the best you could out there, and that's where it was, and the idea now was to keep formulating new ways to get better, stronger, spiritually stronger, mentally stronger, and not be afraid to share things. You know, I just got off the phone with Frank Delventhal from Germany, and we just did a big show on keys to strength. And that was one of the things I harped on. I was like, what is it with so many people? It's like, well, I can't tell you what I do, or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I say, well, you know, Scott, you hit it. No confidence still. These people could be mid-20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. They've had a lot of success in some form of training. But yet, they still don't have the ability to share. They're still thinking they're protecting something, that someone's going to be better than them or beat them. Well, you know something? If that's how you live, eventually you're going to stall and hit a wall. And we talk about specialization, but, you know, when we talked about our great show on the back a few weeks ago, you know, we were talking about being more well-rounded. I think eventually, with any of this stuff we love to do, and you might reach a maximum, or you might get near your zenith, and then suddenly, bam, it's like going down a highway at buck 50 in your car, and you slam your brakes on. Well, chances are, seatbelt or not, your head's going right through the windshield. This is what I'm talking about. So all these things that we formulate along the way and all these things that we're taught or all these things we learn, these are all things you got to share. These are things that help you grow and become better. And my thing before we go into the next question is this. If you can smell a rat, chances are there is a rat among you, whether you've got a poor trainer, you're at a poor gym, you're not fulfilling your obligations, you're not on time, you're leaving early, you know, gloom and doom attitude all the time, nothing's right. Once you get into believing all that, and believe me, right now there's more external influences like that than I've ever seen or heard, you're not going to get to where you want to get. And I don't like saying that to anybody, because the idea of this show obviously is we want to bring the problem out if we see it as that, and we want to offer you solutions. And the solution I would say to anybody, if any of those things we've hit upon, you need to get in with somebody else, a new group. Ask around. Search things in your area. Look, here's one of the best ways. You see somebody somewhere that looks very strong, don't be afraid to walk up to them and say, where do you go and work out? Or do you train people or whatever? And if that's the case, interview them if you want to go with them, if they'll do it. Use your head. Make the best possible moves you can. Now, nothing is 100% foolproof, but we know one thing. If you take the time to put the time into your health instead of worrying about your TV or your internet, or you're texting, I guarantee you all those other things that used to bother you will be nothing. It'll be like yesterday. If you want to comment on anything I said, and then we'll go into the next why, my friend.
Yeah, I think that my comment would be that people need to be, when you're getting into this, you need to be realistic. You need to be honest with yourself, and you really need to assess what it is that you really want. You know, because I think a lot of people like with is say, let's take powerlifting, for instance. You know, powerlifting was a very, very kind of cult, kind of underground sport. And now I think it's really exploded. Yep. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, CrossFit gyms and people getting in and getting access to barbells and you know, doing deadlifts and and squats and things like that. So and then when they realize that there's this competition, you know, then they get excited and that's cool. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a power lifter, in my opinion. You know, I mean, you go to some events, you maybe, you know, try to break records and stuff like, you know, personal records and stuff like that. But I almost feel it's like disrespectful to the people I consider the real lifters. You know, like I'll never, even though I participate in powerlifting meets and stuff like that, still, I don't call myself a power lifter, you know, though my training resembles that of a power. I don't do it 100%. I'm not all in. You know, I mean, at my height, I need to weigh about 350 to be competitive, you know, at the highest levels, you know. And I think I hate, you know, that there's so many federations and that there's so, you know, you got 27 billion different champions and you've got, you know, masters and submasters and police, military, law enforcement, firefight, all these different divisions that pretty soon everybody's a freaking national and world champion. You know, you log on to Instagram and everybody who powerlifts has some sort of record. And that really dilutes the sport.
Yeah.
You know, and I really think if you're going to be, you know, you got to look at this like other sports. You know, are you playing backyard football, which is fun, you know, can be competitive in a great outlet, or are you trying to go to the NFL? And it's two different things. And the majority of the people that are getting involved with the sport, they're not going to the NFL.
Yep.
You know, they're doing it. And if it's a personal thing, if it's trying to get PRs, right on, man. I think that's awesome.
Yep.
And that's great. I think that's a really healthy pursuit. You know, but if you are wanting to be competitive, if you want to be a real champion, man, you've got to sell your soul and go all in and do the things that champions in the sport do.
Yep.
And even then, you may never make it to the top, but it's not going to be for lack of trying. So I think it goes back to being honest with yourself. Just because you think powerlifting's cool doesn't mean that you're, you know, and because you get beast mode two or three times a week, it doesn't make you a powerlifter, in my opinion.
No, you're right.
You know, and you know, you get these people that don't even know the history of the damn sport. You know, people that can't tell you who Lamar Gant is. People right. can't tell you who Larry Pacifico is. People yep. can't, you know, God forbid, you know, people can't tell you who Ed Cohn is. It's like, are you kidding me? And you're competing in power. That'd be like a high school basketball player not being able to tell you who Michael Jordan is.
Yeah.
You know, who Larry Bird is. I mean, you know, who Magic Johnson is. It disgusts me a little bit, you know?
Should.
So I think you got to go back. You know, you got to step back and you got to be honest with yourself. What do I want to accomplish by picking up this barbell? And I think for the majority of people out there, they want to get stronger.
Yep.
They want to get healthier. You know, you can't neglect the other aspects of physical development. You know, you can't neglect your cardiovascular system. You can't neglect your nutrition. You can't neglect your sleep, your rest, your recovery. You can't neglect your flexibility, mobility, range of motion. All these things have to come together to give you the best scenario to be totally physically, mentally, you know, spiritually well-developed and healthy.
Yep.
And that, I think, is what the physical culture movement was really going for. And now, you know, we've branched off into more specialists. And like I said, if you're going to be an athlete,
yep.
that's different than getting into something at the hobbyist level or getting into something just because you're trying to better yourself. And I think it really goes back to that self-assessment and really having some clear-cut definition as to why you're doing what you're doing in the first place.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you know something, I say this to people that come here even. You should really know your history with everything. And some of them do it not to the point I'd like, and some others it just goes over their head. I'm not saying you got to know everything about whatever it is you're going to tackle, but like Scott said, at least know some of the names that, you know, laid the history down for you. It's very important because it shows that you have a vested interest in something that is very, very, basically a lot of this stuff came, if you want to use the word, like crude beginnings. I mean, you look at some of the old timers and you look at the places they trained. And I'm a big believer, obviously, in outdoors because I think outdoors, steel and stone is in all of our DNA. And it's just like another switch I talk about. Something's going to turn it on and you're going to go berserk and you're going to wonder why you haven't done this for the last 10, 20, 30 years because it just goes with who you are. But that is that. Here's a question I love to ask. Why the fear of failure? And this is something that looms greatly in people because, as we all know, the flip side is why the fear of success. And that's usually what goes hand in hand with the fear of failure. And when I was in college, you've heard me talk about my professor, Frank Klein. This guy was like so good, man. And he used to talk about those two subjects a lot. And, you know, when I say repetition, 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 he'd drive you insane. He'd say that so much about things that were important. But now today, sitting here talking to Scott, sitting here with two businesses, crawling every day, clawing to become better, to make a good living, to be able to formulate new things, et cetera, et cetera. I totally understand that. And the fear of failure is this. Failure, like I think a lot of things, are all self-taught. You know, when we're small, there's two things. You're afraid of falling and loud noises. So tell me then, why do we have all this junk? And I can give you a number of reasons. And we know one of the major ones are, obviously, your associations, how you're brought up as a child growing into maturity. Obviously, there's some schools that are very detrimental to your thinking. And now, especially, which really saddens me in a lot of ways, is everything has just gone political in every pocket of life. There's a local YMCA here. We have many. They announced, I heard it, it was either on the radio or I read it, and this reverts to how sick things are getting. They are no longer allowed to watch TV in the gym because they've had fist fights in a YMCA over politics. That's when it's really gone too far, in my opinion. It's probably going to go a lot further until one way or another it's stopped. All right? But that's a whole nother thing. But the failure end is this. When you're taught to think in that manner, no matter what you get into, if you even have the nerve to get into it, the first thing you're going to think about is, what if it doesn't work? What if I fail at it? Are people going to laugh at me? Am I going to get ridiculed? Am I just going to drop out and say, screw it? I'll sit on the couch with a big bag of Lay's potato chips, and I can sit there and text all day, and no one's going to judge me, of course, because we don't want to be judged anymore. We don't want to be out in the forefront, the majority of people, anymore. And I know that for a fact because I talk to people outside of here all the time. I love doing that. I like to listen. I love to observe. You want to get smart with anything? Listen and observe and keep your mouth shut for a while. Because you can find out right away who you want to be around and who you don't want to be around. And that is very important because in any relationship, I'm going to tell you right now, don't waste your time on things that just aren't going to work. Give it a shot, maybe. Well, I don't even like using that word. Go after it. But be smart enough to know that this isn't going to work. And you can get the signs very quickly, whether it's work, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever you got, you know, family even too. I've talked about things with my family, with the business and all that, and friends that I don't even speak to anymore. You have to make a choice. You have to decide what's best for you. But the fear of failure is something that's very prevalent. I believe it's basically drilled down into everything now in the world. Now, how do I look at success? Well, look, if you're afraid of failure, you're never going to have success. And I can tell you, without a doubt, I've had more failure in the last 3 years than I ever have in my life. It will not cripple you unless you let it. Now, it's going to be a force with you in the beginning. And I've said before, if it wasn't for the family and the lifting, I might have had a nervous breakdown by now with all the stuff that's happened. But I'll say this, and I'll say it to the day we sign off. There's going to come a point in your life where things like this, they might get after you, but they are not going to affect you or destroy you where maybe they would have hurt you a year or two and put you back. What's going to happen? You're going to build this tenacity, this resistance, this strength. Especially strength of body and mind, because I believe, and I will do this to the day I can't breathe anymore. The gym is like, to me, that is where I find my solitude. I think men, a lot of men that I know, have no problem with being alone. Women are different. Women need to hang together. They need that kind of cohesiveness from what I've always been told or witnessed. I'm just going to talk about myself. I have no trouble at times being very solitary. In fact, I welcome the silence because, like Scott probably and a lot of other people, you're dealing with people a lot of times 24/7, 7 days a week, or maybe 15 hours a day. As much as you love them, you really need sometimes to unplug from everything. And that's very important to get over these struggles, to attain success. So I don't want to get it going anymore because I want to get Scott in here, but I could talk about failure and success until I was 100 years old, believe me. So take it away, my friend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I like the quiet times too when I work with so many people on a daily basis. I'm interacting with so many people on a daily basis, and I'm talking like 6-7 days a week.
Yeah.
That, you know, the small pockets of time that I can get to lift, that I can go meditate, that I can, you know, practice Tai Chi, which is another, you know, it's right up there with lifting weights. You know, I love studying Tai Chi and Qigong. So those times are really important to me because those are the times, you know, where I can kind of focus on myself and not be so connected to other people.
Yep.
And it's not that, you know, it's not that I enjoy working with people. I mean, I got into this business to help people. But, you know, there's a difference between enjoying, you know, to help people and to work with people and feeling that you need to be friends with every single person you come in contact with, you know, and that's not me, man. I'm more of a solitary creature in that regard.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff isn't that important to me. And it, you know, I know that it makes me sound like a jerk or a mean person or whatever.
Not really.
But that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean I wish anything bad on people. I just don't really want to deal with people. I want to help people in the gym and that's it, you know, and it drives me nuts because sometimes I think people use, you know, the gym time is like therapy time or whatever.
Well, they
like,
do. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I hate to come across like this, but all I care about is, you know, if you're coming to me for lifting, it's your numbers. I don't care about your personal life.
Yeah.
You know, that's for you to deal with.
Yep.
You know, I can't care about the 50, 60, 70 people I work with. That's not what I do. You know, we all got our own things to deal with, and you need to figure out how to deal with them in your own way. And if the gym's your therapy, great. You know, but I'm not your therapist. You know, I'm your trainer. I'm your coach. You know, whatever. So I do enjoy those, that quiet time that I can get to myself. Success and failure, man. It's pretty cliche to say, but you know, fear of failure is what stops most people.
Absolutely.
And really, so what if you try something and it doesn't work out? Big deal. I mean, how do you define success to begin with? You know, unfortunately, I think everybody thinks it means that you have to have some multi-million dollar, you know, the way people talk about million-dollar business nowadays, that everybody on the planet was a millionaire, and that's not the case.
That's not true. No.
I mean, the top 1% is like, I think, 400K.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, how do you define success? You know, if money's an issue, spend less.
Yeah.
You know, live below your means. Stop going out and buying everything and spending money and all this stuff. I mean, if you're starting a business, you shouldn't be out worrying about if you've got the newest, you know, the newest iPhone or the newest computer or whatever. I mean, it's a waste of money, man.
Yep.
You got to trim the fat and get down to the bare bones basics.
Yep.
So that you can support the kind of lifestyle that you have to live starting up a business.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you're not going to be rolling around in Lamborghinis and private jets just because you're an entrepreneur. In fact,
no.
It's the other way around, man.
Yep.
I mean, you got to live low to the ground. You got to be low drag for a long time before any of that good stuff starts happening.
Yep.
And that may not even be your goal, you know, and it's fine. You know, everybody's got their own goals, but you've got to, you know, you got to be able to trim the fat if need be. And, you know, if you do that, if you're not putting yourself in a situation where you got all this shit to pay for,
yep,
this lifestyle to maintain, starting a business is easy at that point. You know, I mean, when your bare needs are just, you know, food, water, shelter, you know, whatever, I mean, it's everybody should be able to go out and start a business at that point. But, you know, people dig themselves into these big ruts because they get, you know, trapped in you know, this endless cycle of consumerism. And I'm not against going out and enjoying life or whatever, but, you know, you've got to be smart. And, you know, if you're trying to start a business, you gotta spend less, man. Business isn't about making money; it's about keeping what you make.
Oh yeah, you know? And you know what else too? I say right now, because I live by necessity now. You have to do that because you know everybody's heard my story, and now we're getting ready to launch the three biggest things in my life here, and obviously you know the podcast and all that. You know, Scott, if I had to measure and what I've heard from different people about the show and everything we're doing, it would be a multi-million dollar company right now, all right? But to even get to a point where you're very solvent and successful in that right, it's going to take time. We've been up for – we're going to be going on 4 years, all right, which is a milestone even lasts through all this time. And usually now you're at that point where things are starting to click. But the groundwork to get all this stuff up and be running on a shoestring, I hate to say it, and I'm not afraid to pat myself on the back here because I don't do it much on the show. I don't think I need to do that. But I think it is good for people to hear it because it gives people a little bit of confidence in their own right is, look, we've gone through a succession of 5 people alone, just as web people. Big promises, lots of money, no delivery. I have a guy now, Chris O'Neill, great guy. He's probably 2.5 hours from me in New York. We're going to see what he's got, but so far everything looks pretty good. And right now, tentatively, and it looks very good right now, we will launch everything on the 14th of March. And most of the pages are built out on Fiorella Barbell. They're not functioning because we can't do that until we're ready to fly. But they'll be very close, probably Friday afternoon. So what I'm trying to say is I've had minimal intervention helping me. Now, I got an IT background. It made it easy to put WordPress in. And get the podcasting up, had to get a little, you know, have to go back and forth with a few people, obviously, to get everything set up. But the majority of that I did on myself, and I kept hearing, that's not worth the time. You know, I had one guy who was working here. Why are you wasting your time on that? Now, this was almost 3 years ago. Glad I didn't listen to him, because I would have wasted 3 years listening to his BS, but he wasn't around long anyways. I fired him too. I've had people here, obviously, that were highly recommended, people I respected, didn't work out. Don't mind taking your money, but then they become harder and harder to get a hold of by phone, email, or texting, or whatever you're using. So you learn these life lessons. But I'll tell you right now, I've built quite a company on my own back. And when it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, when you talk about fear of failure and the fear of success, I'm going to talk about just success, plain and out. As Steve Jack says, shoulder some responsibility. And in the bottom of the in the bottom column, whether it's Scott Shetler or Eric Fiorello, we own these companies. I don't turn it over to other people to do my business. Do we need help in these areas? Yeah. Do I got time to be doing all this expertise? I don't. I can do a lot of it, but man, oh man, how can I put articles up? How can I put podcasts up? You don't know what goes on behind here just having to contact people about the shows. Are you coming on or you aren't? You don't hear back, the whole thing. There's a ton of stuff just scheduling alone. If I had the means right now to do it, I'd hire somebody right now to do that. That is a big chunk of my day, all right, among everything else. Is it complaints? There isn't a complaint here. This is what I chose to do the rest of my life. This is what I love to do. I think I'm pretty good at it, and I'm going to just keep improving. But I know what I get from people, and I could read things on the air that people would be like, did he write that? I tell you right now, anything I tell you about anybody on here is from them, and I could prove it. I could bring them on if that meant anything, but that doesn't mean anything to me. If you don't think my word's good by now, then there's no point in even continuing here. So, success, failure, hand in hand. FBC, M&M, success, failure, hand in hand. Here's the difference, though. As I said, I might even said this on the last show with Scott. Picture that big, high stone wall in front of you. Basically, it looks like it's up to the sun. And I can tell you right now, we've got multiple holes, and the water is seeping through all over. It's going to be one or two more huge hits, and the whole thing's coming down, and my dream now is going to take full fruition. And when that happens, and it will happen, look out, because it's going to be like, you know, I'm trying to think of the analogy. It was on, I think it was Rocky II, and basically Mick told him, you know, you're an Italian tank, run through him, run over him when he fought Creed for the second fight. That's how I look at life here at FBC and M&M. So it's all yours. I know that was long, brother, but take it.
Yeah, I mean, it you know, going back to the whole, you know, fear of failure, fear of success thing and stuff like that, you're right. You know, I mean, it's about taking responsibility, you know, and I think a lot of people, like, I definitely feel that there's this, like, sense of entitlement, you know, with a lot of people.
Yep.
And when you see somebody who's successful or somebody who you deem to be successful, you don't see the hours and the hours and the hours that it took to get that person there. You know, you don't see, you know, when Michael Jordan comes on the scene, you don't see the hours and hours and hours he spent practicing in the gym by himself, you know, getting cut from the team and having to work even harder to make the team. And you know, that stuff's not overnight. You know, I think it was Charles Poliquin in an interview about somebody asked him about being a successful strength coach. He said, he said, I worked, you know, 38 years to become an overnight success.
There you go.
And, it's true, you know, and I mean, you get these, you know, people throw around, especially nowadays with the political climate, which just disgusts me anymore nowadays. I'm so sick of listening to people bitch and moan about, you know,
everything.
I'll tell you one thing, that this election cycle taught me one thing. There's a lot of people out there who don't want to take responsibility for their own lives, who are just looking to blame somebody, you know, and it's disgusting. Yep. You know, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a joke. I mean, I've lived long enough and been through enough presidential elections to realize that about 40% of the country is happy, 40% of the of the country is pissed off, and about 20% don't give a shit.
Exactly.
The fact that, you know, we're living in a time nowadays that you've got a generation of people who were excused from their classes at college from elite institutions, Ivy League schools, and provided hot cocoa and therapy dogs because they were stressed about the outcome of a freaking presidential election.
Yeah, no shit.
Give me a break, man. Yeah. Whatever happened to being hardcore? Whatever happened to go out and doing shit with your life and doing things? You know, I mean, the only thing that you can control in an election is that you educate yourself and get to the polls and vote.
Hell yeah.
After that, nothing else you can do. Go out and do something. Be some sort of change. Be productive. You know, don't sit and cry because your man or your woman didn't get in. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. So you see this, you know, sense of entitlement in this whole, you know, people are throwing around the term privilege nowadays, which drives me crazy.
You know,
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you're living in the U.S., we're all privileged.
You bet, man.
We've got an opportunity to make shit happen.
Yep.
You know, and yeah, granted, some people are born into money and some people aren't. But you know what? That's it's up to you to take those 24 hours that you have every day and do everything that you can to get to where you want to be in life. That's the one thing that you've got. Everybody's got to have their own personal drive and motivation to make shit happen.
Yep.
And you've got to go out. We've all got the same amount of time every day. You know, people spend it differently. If you lack some education, go get education.
Yep.
If you lack experience, go volunteer, go intern, do something to get the experience that you need. You've got to work every day to get yourself in a better and better position. And, you know, going back to the whole Sisyphus analogy, you know, I don't know if I want to ultimately get to that pot of gold. You know,
no way.
I don't know if I want to be totally successful, because then the work's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the process for me that I enjoy, you know, to getting up every day, trying to make my business better, trying to get more clients, trying to learn more, trying to pass on more information, trying to just expand and grow more on a daily basis. You know, if you get to the end of that road, then what do? You know, for me, the success is being able to do the hustle every day that's required to be in the business for myself. And some days suck. Some days you're tired. Some days are awesome. Some days you're feeling good, but whatever, man, that's all part of that dance, you know?
And
that's the awesome thing about being in business for myself. You know, that's how I define success, is just having the opportunity to do what it is that I want to do.
Yeah. You make your own opportunity like you're doing now. And I'll tell you another thing is I'm very disagreeable with people with a lot of the stuff we just talked about with the environment we're living in right now. And there's an awful lot of other, elements involved. It's like if you remember the picture of the Godfather with the strings, there's an awful lot of people pulling strings on a lot of other people that have no leadership quality, they feel shortchanged, left out, like you said, privilege. It's all a load of crap. You know, let's just clear this right off the board. And I said this with Frank just now. My father used to say this all the time to me. There's going to be people that are going to be smarter than you, stronger than you. They might be better looking than you, but here's what you've got. You've got you. You're unique. You're the only Scott Shetler in the world, the only Eric Fiorello in the world, and you have a responsibility to do the best you can. Now, that doesn't mean people won't help you. I would help anybody. But I'm not going to carry your weights for you. I'll help you load them. I'm not going to dig your stones out, but I'll help you any way I can to instruct you and help you get better. And I sure as hell am not going to pat you on the ass and tell you everything's all right all the time, because that is not how the world works. That's not the way the human nature is, because we're created in a way to be able to do things. We've got hands, we got feet, we got arms, we got legs. We have a mental capacity that outstretches anything in the whole universe. And this notion that you're owed, or I've been a victim, or you should do this for me, or I should be able to be around people that I have not even close to a brain cell because this, and this from the past, is absolutely ludicrous. And if you live your life like that, always, you're always in a situation where you're without. If you live like that, we talk about this all the time. The things you think about most are coming your way. Keep thinking about that, and it's going to get worse. You know, you go out to get in your car, you'll have a car accident, or you'll slip and fall, or you'll get fired from your job. Don't think this is coincidental. It isn't. I've heard many males and females, and you go out on Facebook, and it's very hard for me to read a lot of stuff now. I don't have the time, but a lot of these people that profess as being very strong, it just seems like they've got an argument with everyone or everything that's been through their life from childhood to where they are now. They're not happy, or something went wrong, or this relationship went wrong, and I'm just battered and beaten, or I can do all this and I don't need a guy around. And I don't even want to hear it anymore, man. I don't even want to.
You talk about, that you're not patting anybody on the ass.
Right. Yep.
We're living in a time now where the attaboy is what's important, and that drives me nuts because I look at it like this. If you came to me and you said, "Hey Scott, I want you to help me deadlift. I want to deadlift 600 pounds."
Yep.
If every time you came in and trained and I looked at your deadlift and I said, Great lift, man. Oh, that's awesome. You're doing great, man. What good is that doing you?
None.
If I don't tell you, where your form sucks, where you're breaking down, where you're weak, if I'm not giving you that information, how are you going to get better?
Yeah.
If all I did was give you compliments on a daily basis, how are you going to get better? You're just thinking everything's great all the time. Then you're going to go to a meet and get your ass kicked.
Oh, yeah. And then you're going to come back and be pissed off at you.
I thought my deadlift was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Why didn't you tell me?
Too many people. And I'm not saying you shouldn't celebrate success. That doesn't matter to me. Like, I don't need somebody coming up to me and saying, great job. I really couldn't care less about that stuff.
Yep.
I get why some people, some sort of positive encouragement is important. But when that becomes, what everything's about, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's a struggle. You've got to learn how to deal with the negativity. You've got to learn to deal with the adversity. You've got to learn to deal, if you're trying to get strong, to deal with the pain and the injuries and stuff like that. If you don't know how to, if you don't learn how to deal with that stuff, and that's how you get stronger. You get strong when something's broken, then you get stronger because you can repair it and move on. If you're just getting a pat on the butt and an attaboy all the time, you're going to get squat out of that. And then when you get in the real world, you're going to find out real fast.
Yep, absolutely. Last question, and I'm just going to give a couple sentences out because I know we're near time. The question is, and this is a great way to end the show on a very high note, why is life great? And I'm just going to lay it out right now. Life to me, I don't want the alternative, at least not for a long time. But life to me, like right now, we haven't had sunshine in 2 days. It's been just raining and ugly, dark, everything. I'm just enjoying, I'm looking out my bedroom window, and I'm looking at a beautiful blue sky, and I'm looking out the other side of the house, and the whole hallway is literally lit up. It's a very light color, yellow. And man, you want to talk about a color that just brings a lot of joy to your eyes, which translates right into your body. Small thing, but a big thing, all right? Because your feel for everything is going to affect how you deal, not only in your past, but in today and the future. And life is very good. I would tell all of you, give life a real try. Get out of the things that really don't matter that you can't control. Get away from the people that they're just sucking you dry like a vampire. Go out and not be afraid to be alone. Go out and meet some new people on your own if that need be. But most of all, get outside. Enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy the cold. Enjoy the heat. Get a little something under your belt. Get out there. Maybe you do something a little physical. I guarantee you, life is a great thing to live. And what you make of it, I know that's cliche, is what you become. And if you want to live the opposite way, that's your choice. But I'm telling you right now, living life as fully as you can, enjoying life as fully as you can, you're going to find everything in your life is going to grow times 10. And there will be anything you want, things will start happening. The people that you'll be shocked, they'll start coming into your life. Believe me, I'm sitting here telling you that because I know that, and I've already met up with it. It's a great thing, meeting the new people. Look at all the people I've met through the show I never would have met in my lifetime. You know, your dreams and things like that, I'm an example right here. It can happen. And when it happens, it's the greatest thing, and you got a future to look forward to, everybody. And I wish all of you the best future ever, but make the right choices and take the little things that most people take for granted and take them to the extreme. And I guarantee you, life is going to treat you very well, and you will treat it even better. Scott, give us what you think, then give out your information. Stay in the line. I'll give mine, and we'll wrap today up. Thanks.
I'd have to say, to me, life is just it's just field of endless potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's where, you know, everybody has the opportunity. You're here for the experience that you want to create, you know, and I think people lose sight of that, you know, because they fall into the trap of, you know, trying to be what they think they're supposed to be and what they've been conditioned to be, as opposed to what they're truly here to experience. You know,
yep.
And I think when you realize that every day that you're alive is this opportunity for you to create, to do whatever you want to do. I mean, as hokey as it is, I mean, you're the author of your own book, man.
Yeah.
You get to write the outcome that you want. You get to experience whatever it is that you want to do. There's all this untapped potential around you to do exactly whatever you feel you're here to do. And I really think that that's what, you know, life is all about. And when you figure that out, you know, I don't think there's some magical, you know, meaning to life. I think, you know, you as an individual, you're here to experience what you choose to experience. There's no right or wrong. You know,
yep.
I mean, it's whatever you resonate with, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I think when you approach your life like that, you know, really good things can begin happening. So I just look at it as, like I said, it's just a field of endless potential.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to take it upon yourself to do something about that. You know, and until you do, I mean, then it's on your shoulders.
Yep.
So, yeah, man, it's that's kind of the way I look at it.
No,
that's
great.
You know, I mean, not every day is a bowl of roses, man, or a bowl of cherries, man. You know,
yeah.
it's not a garden of roses every day, and you just got to be able to. But that's what, you know, without the really bad, there's never a really good.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have those contrasts. You know, you've got to have the really bad, shitty times to really appreciate the really great times, you know.
I agree.
And that's life, man. That's the yin and yang of life right there, you know.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
But yeah, man, just to wrap it up, like I said earlier, if people want to check out, you know, myself or what I do, if they go to my personal website at scottshetler.com, it's going to link to my gym here in Atlanta. It's going to link to my blog, my video blog, the different books that I've written, as well as all my social media links where I try to share and publish as much relevant content or things that I find interesting as possible. So if they go there, they'll be able to link to all of that. So
awesome.
As always, man, thanks for having me on the show. It's been great talking to you and looking forward to next time.
Yes, sir. It's always a very good time here when we talk. It's good stuff. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Download our two free ebooks, one to make you think, and one to make you act. And, you know, we started talking about all the whys today. Big action all the time. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows Scott and I have done. We're going to do many more in the future. There's some great future ahead here. And, you know, everybody that's associated with the family, you know, I see big stuff for everybody. That's what it's all about. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten, and I appreciate that. Go out to AHA directory. That's AHA. All the new cars have the radios, and they make aftermarket where you can now get podcasting when you're behind the wheel. Grab Motivation Muscle. You got us 24/7, 7 days a week, and that's some good stuff. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Scott and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. You can also go out to the M&M website in the comments, put anything you want there too. We want to hear from you. You know, that's the idea of the show. Everybody here, we really want to engage with you. I mean, there's people here that have been employed off the show for training, for equipment. We're very happy to do that at any turn. That's what it's all about. Also, too, I'm going to leave you with a number of things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or The Concrete Jungle, never be afraid to give five words of inspiration that can change your life forever. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift, bend, break, twist, squat, pull, press, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we're domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anybody's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Also, too, Frank Klein, by far the greatest teacher I've ever had, especially in business and college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. Also, too, John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years. It'll be this spring. We lost him 3 years to cancer. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself on your worst or best day. You will smile. I'm smiling right now. John would be very happy that I'm carrying on his legacy, believe me. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends about motivation and muscle, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Join our family. Be a part of the biggest revolution in radio, I promise you. And before we sign off, the great Les Brown, all of us, as he said, all have a high potential to be great, greatness as he calls it. But we'll take it two steps further. We got your back, and we believe in you. And most people in today's world would never lay that on the line like that. But we aren't like everybody else. That's the beauty of Eminem and everybody here. Scott, as I said, it's always an honor to have you on. Great, it's always a great working relationship, and obviously you're a friend of mine. You're part of our family. I'll tell you what, I'm very blessed, believe me. And I remind myself when we say the why, when things go awry here, I'll ask, why are you doing this? And I'll come up with the answer every time, and it just restores my commitment and love for everything I do here and everybody involved. So thanks once again, my friend.
Thank you, man.
You are welcome. So for Scott Shetler, this is Eric Fiorello. We will get Scott on. We just got all this stuff to get out, and we'll get everybody back here within the next month or 5 weeks. That's a promise. Maybe earlier. Just bear with everything right now. So for Scott Shetler, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you soon. And go out and do something magnificent. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.